Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is really great to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from Bishop Jim Gonia and the 158 congregations of the Rocky Mountain Synod across all five states of Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and El Paso. And it was really wonderful, a lot of fun to be with you yesterday, to have the great conversation around church becoming. And so as we hear the words this morning, both from Amos and from Jesus, forgive me as I try to lay that layer of church becoming onto these conversations in scripture as well. When we hear these words from the prophet Amos, they're a bit harsh to start with. And the truth of the matter is that if we look at the rest of the words of Amos, the rest of this book, Amos is filled with these warnings. He is kind of the classic a prophet of woe, and he's not happy about it. He doesn't even really get to introduce himself until almost the last verses of the entire book, and there he says, "I'm no prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm not even the son of a prophet. I don't even know what that means to be the son of a prophet. If that's a bad thing, I don't know." But he says, "I am neither of those things. In fact," he says, "I'm a herdsman, and I'm a dresser of sycamore trees. That's all I want to be here." But God has called him into this place and given him this really kind of crummy task of having to be the one who will warn Israel of this upcoming doom. This happens before they are on their way into Babylon or into captivity, and so Amos tells them that, you know, they've ignored God for so long, they've paid no attention to him and no attention to God's prophets, that now they are going to be taken off into slavery. And he hopes for something better in the future. And so by the time we get to chapter 5 in the section that we just read a couple of minutes ago, the listeners have heard a lot of Amos's words of woe. And in fact, in the piece that we read, we skipped a few verses, and some of those are just as hard to hear as the ones we read. Amos kind of sets up those words when in verses 10 and 11, and he talks about they hate the one who reproves in the gate. That would be the one who speaks the word of truth. They abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them, planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. Amos has to say that there might be wonderful things happening around you, but for the people of Israel, he says, you will not enjoy it. By the time he gets to verse 21, the section that we heard where he says, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your grains and burnt offerings, I will not accept them. When he gets to that point, I don't know about you, but it makes me kind of uncomfortable. You know, we especially those of us who are church folk, we're kind of tied into those assemblies, right? I take no delight in your festivals, no delight in your solemn assemblies. All the things that you bring to me, the offerings you bring, and the way you respond to me in worship, he says, I chuck it all. And we, us church folks, listen to that and say, wow, I don't like that very much. That makes me really nervous. Or who does he think he is to talk like that about these folks who are bringing their worship? And then we remember, oh yeah, this is God speaking through the prophet. And so it's not only the prophet who says this, but God himself. And it has to make us wonder then, what is it? What is it about these assemblies and festivals that God doesn't like? Doesn't he like the ELW? Maybe we should have stuck with the green book. Maybe that we'd all be better off. Maybe that would just make us make God happier. And then we realize that's not what God's talking about at all. As the people of Israel come to worship, they come with hollowness in their hearts. They come without any full sense of actually coming to give to God what is God's. They come out of rote and out of ritual, but not out of a sense of truly giving to God what God desires. And God says, I see through you. I see through all of those things that you do to try to make yourselves look pious and important. I see through it all. And then God says to them, he gives them the clue. He says, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You see, the key that God is giving them is to change their vision entirely. To change their, to change their vision from being centered on performance, being centered on outside kind of activities, and to focus themselves on doing God's will in the world, doing the work of God that they've been called to do wherever they go. And that work becomes the most important thing that God is looking for. God looks to the people of Israel to do in the world what God needs done, to be, in fact, the hands and feet of God in the world. Now, if we move forward into the gospel, Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink, because out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the folks who put those two lessons together heard that image, and it does make you wonder, well, what do those two things have to do with each other? The words of Jesus there and the words of Amos thousands of years before. But here Jesus speaks to them to say, let anyone who is thirsty come. That desire, that invitation that Jesus gives is not simply for a drink of water or a nice cup of coffee, but that invitation is about something that fills them up on the inside. And when you begin to imagine what it is that fills one up on the inside when they're feeling empty, and you hear those words of Amos saying, let justice flow like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. There is a sense of what fills us up as human beings is when we know that things are right in our world. When they're right with our loved ones and when they're right with those around us, then we begin to see the presence of God in our lives. Yesterday, as we had a chance to talk about what it is to imagine ourselves in this conversation between two ideas, classic church and church becoming, we realized that in many ways that All Saints, and for that matter, most of our congregations are, they're kind of both and. That'll make Bishop Jim happy because that's one of his favorite expressions. And so when we talk about this understanding of being both the church that we've always known and the church that God is calling us to be, and we move in those two things together, I ask myself, well, how does that connect to these lessons? Because to be honest, part of my business of being with you this morning is to talk about church becoming and talk about what's out in front of you as you are making decisions for your future and working on your vision and imagining who God is calling you to be as you move forward. And so then that question comes up against our text for today. But frankly, as I began to think about that, it didn't take too much struggle to hear those words of Amos. As Amos says that God speaks through Amos and says, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your assemblies. I won't accept any of that. Take away the noise of your songs, but let justice roll down like waters, let and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God calls us to be focused not simply on what's inside our congregation. Now, to be sure, those words of worship and those are the offerings that we bring are good and right. And it's not that God is saying quit singing and quit bringing offerings. And that would really be a problematic as a sermon on the day when you receive your commitments for 2022. That would just be a bad choice of scripture. I don't know what you were thinking. But God is asking God's people to focus on the acts of the heart, the acts that move them outside of themselves to take care of others around them and to open up that flow of love that Jesus talks about in the gospel. Jesus talks about this, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. What else can that river be but the love of Christ in the world? Isn't that, when it comes down to it, the most important, the most striking call that we've been given in all of our lives, that we allow that love of Christ to flow through us? And when that love flows through us and we really do open our eyes to see who is around us, then in fact, justice will roll down like waters and righteousness does flow in that ever-flowing stream. For the people of all saints, as you wonder where God is calling you next and wonder how this continuous journey that you've been on will move into God's future, hear those words from Jesus. First of all, for yourselves, hear these words. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. That incredible invitation from Jesus is first for you. It's first for you to know the love and the grace and the mercy of God in your life, and to drink from that promise and let it fill your heart in all that you are and in all that you do. And then listen to the rest of that out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. It isn't that we are a reservoirs. We're not meant to be like a nice lake in the mountains that catches all the water and just holds it there. We're meant to be conduits of God's love, to let God's love flow into us and flow out again. We love, 1 John says, because Jesus first loved us. So we become the ones who bring Jesus' invitation to all those around, to let anyone who is thirsty come to Jesus. As you do God's will in this setting, in this beautiful context here in Albuquerque. May these words of Christ come true in your lives and for this congregation, that out of your hearts would flow rivers of living water. Amen.